This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff.
The NFL glitterati gathered in Chicago this week for the annual appointing of the future gods of the gridiron, which gave me the opportunity to make my annual speech about the excesses of the NFL draft to the Only a Game staff, and they all put their hands over their ears because they've heard it before. Luckily, it's time now for Three Stories You Should Know, which is my weekly opportunity to say whatever I want, mostly. I'm joined this week by David Steele of the Sporting News and Shira Springer of the Boston Globe. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Hello.
The first pick in the draft sent Jared Goff to L.A., as we just heard. Cornerback Eli Apple was chosen 10th in the first round by the New York Giants. Earlier this week, one scout warned against him because, as the scout said of the young man, he has no life skills, he can't cook. Eli Apple was shocked to learn of that evaluation. He says he's a pretty good cook. He specializes in waffles, burgers, and hash brown potatoes, so I could go there to eat anytime. Do we need any more proof of what a silly exercise the NFL draft has become? Nobody knows which of these players will actually help an NFL team or when that might happen. Wouldn't it be better for everybody if the NFL and the people who talk and write about it just let the players try to play their way onto teams and see whether they were going to have careers or not? And Shira, I'm going to let you go first on this.
These anonymous scouts always seem to crop up and have a ton of opinions about players. Something is just a little bit off. They can't cook. They tie their shoes backwards. If you're going to say something about a player, put your name behind it. And my other recommendation is we need to move the draft up. There is far too much time for speculation and crazy comments between the Super Bowl and the draft.
David, what about you? Are you a fan of the hype? Do you look forward to months of mock drafts every year?
You're starting your mock draft for next year now, right,
it's done.
David?
It's done.
You have to. Yeah, it has to be in. Clearly, that's a too much to think about kind of question. And that's one of the nice ones. Des Bryant, when he first came into the league, was asked about his mother because some story went around about a fight that happened in his family. And eventually he was asked, so does that mean your mother is a prostitute? If Des Bryant could have done anything else with his life, he would have just gotten up and walked away and said, I don't need this. You know, find out if my knees are going to withstand this. Find out if the helmet that I'm wearing is thick enough to prevent the concussions I'm inevitably going to get and that you're going to talk me into continuing to play with.
But if there's one positive thing you can take away from this, if you're Eli Apple, I think this scout has done him a favor because when he retires in 20 years, he already has, you know, an opportunity to franchise a bunch of breakfast restaurants.
They need to do that.
Maybe they should do a draft brunch, and then Eli Apple could provide the food for that.
Perfect. I'm very happy that we've settled this. I really am. It makes me feel much better about the rest of the day. David, you're up next, and I understand that you are also thinking about the NFL during this theoretically off-season week.
Yes, I am, and I feel terrible to bring everybody down because I'm going to be talking about the fact that that just over a week ago we lost Prince, and I'm still struggling so badly with that right now, and so are most people. But as it turns out, an NFL player is struggling with it as well because of the news that opioid painkillers may have been involved. Eugene Monroe, tackle for here in town, the Baltimore Ravens, went on Twitter and said, I'm terrified at this news because these are the things that our teams, our employers, this league gives to the players on a regular basis. I worry about my health every single time I take one of these pills, every time I take a needle in order to finish practice, in order to recover from practice, in order to play in a game. And he went on a fairly long string of tweets about it. The fact that Prince is now in the news because of this, Eugene Monroe and a lot of NFL players are thinking, you know, maybe this will open a lot of people's eyes to the dangers of these things and what we're asked to do. And I think he's right, and I hope that it wakes everybody else up as well.
I don't know what it's going to take, but there needs to be a cultural change. This is not just around the issue of painkillers, but it's around the issue of playing hurt and playing through injuries, whether it's a concussion, whether it's a knee injury, whether it's a broken hand. There has to be a change in the way the NFL handles injuries and allows players to play through them.
There have been so many well-publicized instances of former doctors in working for NFL teams who've said, hey, my job was to get that guy back on the field, whatever it took, a needle, a pill. We've seen the stories. We've seen the suicides. We've seen the addictions. And I don't know what's going to change it. I really don't. David, we've taken your topic and had all sorts of things to say about it that are pretty discouraging. You want to rescue us here?
I was actually encouraged to see that a player was that vocal about it, because it's another example of how they're starting to sort of fight for control of themselves. You know, it's a small first step, but it could lead to bigger and bigger steps that could probably make some real change happen.
Let's hope so.
Yes, please.
Shira, we're going to give your story an audio introduction because I think it's an important way to do it.
Okay. So I have to read all of them, right? Because, I mean, I don't...
Read them, I guess.
I hope you get raped again.
Oh.
Shira, please explain for us what's going on here.
Well, that was one man reading a mean tweet to, I believe it was Julie DeCaro. And earlier this week, Julie DeCaro and Sarah Spain did something incredibly brave. The two female sports reporters participated in a video that broadcast some of the cruelest, most demeaning Twitter messages they've received. And as you heard, the men had trouble getting through them. Now, there's no debate that this type of harassment is beyond atrocious. But speaking from personal experience, it's nothing new. Julie and Sarah brought attention to the issue, but I wonder what, if anything, can be done about it. And I think that's where the conversation needs to go. Should Twitter or leagues or teams or athletes step up and say something? Will that help? Or is sexism so entrenched in some corners of the sports world that it's impossible to root out? And I guess, you know, David, what do you think? What can be done? And can there be meaningful change?
We don't speak up enough. I mean, it's a lot of times we sort of pass it off as, oh, that's the business, that's the industry, that's society. Those are all made up of people, individual people who make individual choices. It was sickening to hear that, and yet... You know, I know that it happens. I've seen it happen. I've been told these stories, and I see people do it. We don't talk about it enough. You know, your male colleagues. We need to back you up. We need to be able to step out and make them realize that they're the outsiders and that they're not part of the mainstream.
Yeah. I think the only soul-encouraging thing that I've ever heard in the context of this kind of story is that every once in a while somebody identifies the person who has sent that hate message, and they confront the person, and it's almost as if the person says, oh, I'll be darned, there's a person at the other end of that message that I sent. Oops. And maybe we can hope that that will happen, especially as both of you are suggesting, if more and more and more people speak up about it.
You know, it may take a while to figure out just what the right action is to curb this type of behavior, but let's try some stuff and see how it works.
My guests for Three Stories You Should Know have been the Boston Globe, Shira Springer, and David Steele of the Sporting News. Thank you, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.